The first reading we hear from the prophet Habakkuk, who is frustrated because it doesn't seem that any of his prayers are being answered. He says, I cry for help and you don't listen. I cry out to you violence, you don't intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Sounds like a lot of people I've been hearing from lately. They pray and nothing seems to happen. They're frustrated with the things that are going on. We have to look around and we see exactly what Habakkuk was saying. Lots of ruin, lots of misery. And yet, God seems to be allowing it to happen. And we ask why. People have even gotten to the point of saying, well, if God is going to allow this, why should I believe in him? Why wouldn't you believe in him just because he allows this? God's not doing it. We are. And so all we have to do is look at it and say, okay, think about the last time you went to confession. What did you confess? Why did God allow you to do those things? Wasn't that nasty of God that he didn't stop you from doing that? No. God gave you a free will, and he's not going to intervene to stop you from using your free will. Even if you use it against him, he's not going to stop you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be free. So we have people in important positions who are not necessarily all very good. They do really stupid things sometimes. And while it'd be nice if we could just point a finger and blame it all on them, we have to recognize that it's not just them. We look at things like war, and we have been told over and over again, war is the result of sin. And if that's the case, we look at the destruction and the ruin and all the things that are going on, and we can say, you know what? If we would just quit sinning, this stuff would all go away. We would have a world of harmony and peace. But people aren't showing any sign of even slowing down with their sinfulness. In fact, we've gotten to the point where we have a whole group of people even that are called cafeteria Catholics. That is, they want to say that they believe in God. They want to say that they're Catholic, but they don't want to believe what the church teaches. We pick and choose what we want. And so on one hand, we say we believe in God, and then on the other hand, we say, but I don't believe what God has taught. I don't believe what he's revealed. So do we believe him or don't we? You can't have both. God cannot lie. God cannot deceive. So if we're going to say we believe in God, then we need to believe 100% in what God has revealed to us. And we have to be striving to live those things. Instead, there are lots of people who want to give lip service to God, but they don't want to give up their sins. And so, to the degree that we find ourselves in that same boat, we recognize that we're the ones contributing to the violence and the misery and the ruin that surrounds us. So we have to look at our response. And what is it that we're called to? St. Paul, speaking to Timothy, tells him, obviously this is a little different from what would be the case for most of us, because he's talking about ordination. He said, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. But I will just adjust that slightly, because most everybody here has been confirmed. And in that confirmation, there is an imposition of hands by the bishop. So stir into flame the gift that God gave you through the imposition of hands. On that day, you received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. What those seven gifts do is allow you to live an heroic Catholic life. Ask yourself, is that what I'm doing? Am I living a heroic Catholic life? Now, things have gotten so bad out there, if we even just live an ordinary Catholic life, it's become heroic, because we're having to fight against the grain so hard that it's really become pretty saintly just to try to do what has been ordinary throughout history. But we can't rest on our laurels and say, oh, that's good enough. Now, we need to be striving to be truly heroic, and that's what St. Paul is saying. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the grace of God that is there. For what? To bring the love of God into the world. The love of God is the opposite of sin, because every sin is an act of selfishness, and every sin is an act of pride. Pride and selfishness, the opposite of charity. And so, if we have the power to love, that means we have the power to say no to sin. But that means that we have to have courage. It doesn't sound like we need courage. That sounds a little silly, perhaps, at first, until you really think about it. What is it going to take for me to overcome my own sins? I have to fight. I have to have the courage to say no to my own self, to my own desires, to my own selfishness, to my own pride, to all these things that lead me away from God. But I have the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. But now the question is, do we call on the Holy Spirit and ask for his help? Or do we say, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but. But what? But I like it, and I don't want to stop doing it. So I won't call on the Holy Spirit because I really don't want to stop sinning because I like it too much. And then we're going to complain because God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. Really? Are we trying to do his will? Are we really striving to grow in holiness and do the will of God? We listen to what our Lord said in the gospel today. He said, when you have done everything you have been commanded to do, then say we are unprofitable servants who have only done what we were obliged to do. I don't know about you, I have not made it to the point of being an unprofitable servant yet. I cannot say that I have done everything that I have been commanded to do, because I keep sinning and I keep doing stupid and selfish things. I'm not doing everything that God has commanded me to do. So when we look at it and we like to think somehow that we're doing really well, like I said, we need to be striving to live heroic lives. I haven't even gotten up to being an unprofitable servant, let alone being a heroic saint. So we've got a long way to go. But in the midst of what's going on, what we do all have to recognize is what's at the foundation of everything. And that's again exactly what God speaks to Habakkuk in the first reading. He speaks about the person of faith. Again, if we listen to what he said, so the rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, will live. And what is that faith? He said, the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. Everything is going to happen that God has promised. Everything. It must. Jesus told us not one jot or one tittle is going to be taken from the law until it's all fulfilled. That would be like saying in English, not one dot over an I or not one comma is going to be removed. Everything is going to be fulfilled perfectly and completely, just not in our time frame. And so we just have to wait, and we have to be faithful. And that's exactly what God is testing right now. Are we going to remain faithful? Think back 25 years ago. There were lots of people who, for whatever reason, thought that computers were going to break down in 2000, and therefore the world was going to come to an end. The computer, I may remind you, was invented in 1949, which means that people lived up until 1949 without a computer, ever. But somehow in 50 years, we decided that if they shut down, the whole world was going to end. My goodness. Of course, now it's gotten worse. The satellites go out and our dumb phones don't work. Oh, I mean, talk about the world coming to an end. If you can't use your stupid phone, you will be in trouble. But if you think back to 2000, all these people that were panicking, suddenly the churches started filling up. People suddenly became really pious. And then January 1st came. Nothing happened, and the churches started emptying out again. And I remember all the people back then that were saying, I will be faithful no matter what. I will be faithful. And person after person after person has fallen away. So self-assured. And where are they now? Our assurance is only in the Lord, not in ourselves. We do not have the strength to be able to do what needs to be done. But we have the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to be able to help us. We have the grace of God to be able to do what we need to do. And as we heard in the first reading, we must live by faith. We have to trust the Lord. We have to turn to Him. If we try to do this ourselves, we will fail. So this is the opportunity we're being given right now to learn to put that faith into practice. If we are going to say that I believe, live it. Don't give it lip service. That goes nowhere. Jesus said, this people gives me lip service, but their heart is far from me. So they're going to proclaim that they believe. And he even said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So again, if we're going to call him Lord, which means master, which means the one we will obey, are we doing that? Are we even trying to do that? That's what we have to be about right now. Learning to depend on God. Learning to put the faith into practice. Learning that when it doesn't go my way or in the timing that I thought something should happen, am I still going to remain faithful, or am I going to say, because God didn't jump when I said to jump, then forget him? Unfortunately, there are lots of people who do exactly that. Who's God and who's not? Maybe that's where we need to begin. So that's, again, something that all of us have to look at. It's one of my favorite God quotes. He gave it to St. Catherine of Siena. He said, I am he who is, and you are she who is not. Apply that. We are not God. We do not tell God what he should do and when he should do it and how he should do it. And if he doesn't obey my command, then I'm not going to be with him anymore. We got it all backwards. Remember what we pray in the Our Father, thy will be done. We need to conform our will to his. We don't need to make him conform his will to ours, because that doesn't work. He can't change. His will is already perfect. So if we can learn to do it his way, to be patient, to trust every single thing that he has told us will happen exactly as he told us. It's just a question of when and how. And we don't have to worry about either of those. He's got it all under control. Our task, strive to become an unprofitable servant. I don't know what to call myself if I haven't gotten up to be an unprofitable servant. I guess that's where I look at St. Teresa of the Andes, and an incredible young saint. She died when she was 19. So we had Therese the other day, who died when she's 24. St. Teresa of the Andes died when she was 19. And in her writing, she looked at herself and recognized her nothingness compared to God, but then said, well, by creation I'm nothing, and I've sinned. And so she called herself criminal nothingness. So if we can get out of criminal nothingness to become an unprofitable servant, that will be a massive day and a day of rejoicing. Being an unprofitable servant sounds like it's pretty lowly, but for some of us, that would be a huge improvement and cause for rejoicing if we can do it. So let's at least strive for that. Let's put our faith into practice so that we're not going to be rash and have no integrity, but rather to live by faith, to be just. And living by faith, then we strive to do the will of God. We can do the will of God. We can actually become the unprofitable servant who has only done what we have been commanded to do.